Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you don't tell me. I caught you without your weapon. If you go over to John 10, and I think that this will be the last I cover this issue. But it's an important issue because all of us want to know this area more and more. We strive to know it more and more. And I can't say that I have arrived at knowing the voice of God, but I'm sure working hard on it. Praise the Lord. So in John chapter 10, that's where we'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now prepare to deliver the word this morning, Father, I ask that the word come out in such a way that everyone would understand it, so that everyone would bond to it and build a desire within them to increase in the knowledge of how to hear your voice. For this is the desire that we all have, Father, is to be able to know your voice. And so, Father, may I speak in such a way today that many of your people will get a hold of it. Because, Father, we want a church, especially the last day church, to have that ability to be led by your Spirit, and how critical it is to know how to hear your voice for that leading. I want to thank you so much, Father, that you have laid bare your will to us in Scripture. Father, it's easy for us to choose a walk of the Spirit. But being led of the Spirit, Father, is so personal for every one of us. Father, may we have a fear in this area. And Father, I'm talking about a healthy fear. One that shows you respect for when you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the subject of hearing His voice. And so in John chapter 10 here, we use these verses. Start with verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Boy, what powerful verses. What powerful verses. So we're talking about the different kinds of voices that we're faced with in this world. And when I first read these verses, I'll never forget looking up and asking the Lord to help me to know His voice. And I bet you there's not one of you in this auditorium here this morning would not agree with me that you want to know His voice. It's so true, isn't it? I've actually met believers that don't want to, because they have a fear in them that if they do hear his voice, then they're held accountable for it. Well, you know what? I got news for them. They are held accountable for even the voice they don't want to hear, which belongs to him. We brought out about 6 different voices that we hear. One was called the voice of reasoning, the voice of the manifestation, which is the body, the voice of desires, this is your own desires. That means a dominant interest of your mind. Then the voice of experience. This is where strongholds have developed. Then we have what we call the voice of others. This is where deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons can come through. Then we have what we call the voice of prophecy. This is where God will speak to us through the gifts of the Spirit and visions. It's the way he communicates. And so these are the voices that are a part of our life. And before we get born again, we are subject to only one voice, and that is the voice of ourself. But when a person gets born again, we automatically receive another voice. And it's called the voice of our Savior. And with that thought in mind, we begin to realize real quick that we have 2 thoughts processing, 2 channels for these voices to come through. We find that in Scripture very well. It's called the carnal mind or the spiritual mind. One, the carnal has a history that we have lived. The one voice, the voice of the carnal mind, has a history that we have lived. But once we're born again, the spirit, the mind of the spirit, then must have a voice. And the mind of the spirit has no history lived. It is a road we've never traveled before. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, Jesus said up until John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence. But he said the violent take it by force. The word violent literally is referring to a person that will do everything he can to achieve what he wants to achieve, even by violent means. And Jesus was really saying that from John the Baptist declaring the Son of God, that kingdom now that is to come will have to be pressed into. You'll have to do everything to press into that kingdom because you've never lived it. It is a kingdom you've never lived before, and so you have to press into that kingdom. How many of you hear what I'm saying? We have to press into it. It isn't handed to us on a platter. It isn't something that you obtain very easily. Mainly because there are a lot of things that come against us because we're in the environment of the God of this world. We're living within his environment. We don't realize the full impact of this world that we're living in until we've departed from it. Then we can look back and then our eyes will see very clearly what a dangerous place this really is. But there's hope in this dangerous place. There's a future in this dangerous place. There's direction in this dangerous place. There's healing in this dangerous place. There is a victory for you in this dangerous place. You want to know why? Because Jesus created warriors, an army that will follow him and take dominion over this dangerous place. place. And one way to accomplish that is to get to know His voice. Know what He has to say. Develop a walk of the Spirit and desire to be led by it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't want an indictment brought on you, don't ask the Lord for anything concerning yourself. The other day I said, Lord, is there anything else I can learn about being led by Your Spirit? Wouldn't that be a question to ask Him, Mike? Huh? You'd be afraid to ask that one, wouldn't you? I had the stupidity to do it. I said, Lord, how can I know that I'm being led by Your Spirit? Give me something real simple. I don't know if any of you have ever thought that you heard the Lord laugh. I told Him I wanted it real simple. It was like I almost heard this chuckle. Did you notice that in the Old Testament, God laughs at people's calamities? But did you notice before He laughs at their calamities, He gives them instructions what not to do? I said, okay, Lord, I take that this little laugh, this little chuckle that I'm getting, there's some knowledge behind it. And it's how to be led, how I know I'm being led by the Spirit. I says, now, when I said make it real simple and you chuckled, I guess I'm ready. I wasn't. He says, it's real simple. Take a look at your fruit. That was almost like saying, I didn't want to hear that. But He said, usually, if a person is being led by Me, they'll bear good fruit. He says, one way you can tell whether you're being led by Me or not is by your fruit. Because everyone is known by the fruit that they bear. Boy, I didn't want to hear that. How many of you have fruit you don't like? Should we ask the Lord who planted that fruit in us? It's not our fault. A thief or a robber has come and planted it. But these voices are very critical. And the one voice that we're focusing in on is not the voice of the Spirit. A lot of us would like that one more than anything else. But you have to focus in on the voice of reasonings. The word reasoning literally means arguments. It literally means the voice of a stronghold that wants to contradict the Word of God. And so all of us can find that voice in us very, very, very easily. But a lot of us let it slip by without grabbing a hold of it. The voice of reasonings covers these areas. The two thoughts at work. It covers the history that we've lived. It covers the voice of the Spirit. And this is where Satan begins with injecting his thoughts. This is how strongholds, how doubts come enter in through the voice of reasoning. Now, if you will, real quick, like, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, notice this, for though we walk in the flesh. How many of you walk in the flesh? I hope you do. We do not war according to flesh. This word for war here is the Greek word stratos. It means a planning or a strategic plan of operation. Notice he says we don't plan this according to the flesh. But he says we do not plan according to the flesh, for the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. You see, that one voice of reasoning, that comes from what we call a stronghold. It is something that life has produced in the process of our heart. While we're here walking, it had a voice. And this voice builds a stronghold in us, a fortress that we call our protection, when really it becomes our prison. And Paul says that's not where our warfare really is. It's not thinking that we've got a stronghold that we can go to fortify our position. Really, it is your prison. Now, what Paul is trying to do here is he's trying to give us a little insight about the voice of reasonings. For he says, for the weapons of the warfare of us are not fleshly, but mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds, this fortress of reasoning that we rely upon. Casting down arguments. The New King James translation has the word arguments. That is correct. Arguments. Casting down arguments. And that's what the voice of reasoning can present to you. An argument. It wants to argue with you. And it goes on to say, through these arguments, and it says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, even these arguments will even endeavor to what? Argue with you about the kingdom of God and His Word. Boy, if we could get a hold of this. Every morning I get up, I remind myself, today is a fresh day for a brand new leading. I know that every day I have to bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Father, let me follow your leading today. And many of us don't realize this, but do you know that every day you have a fresh leading of God? Whether you're connected or not. God today is your light, even though you're walking in darkness. Because David had discovered that. He said, when I'm in darkness, when I'm depressed, when I don't have any direction, when it doesn't seem like I have an end to what I'm going through, that doesn't bother you at all, God. You're still light. For me, you still can give me direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trouble is, a lot of us in this voice of reasoning, we let it speak to us and we don't deal with it. It's kind of like our thought processes. We just let anything float through our head. Patterns of images that don't belong there. Just like voices that we hear. Call reasoning. Voice of reasoning. And I'm going to tell you, this voice of reasoning has a lot of things that can destroy us, but it also has a lot of things that can help us. The trouble is, we've got to let the Word of God filter out what is good from what is bad. See, I used to let anything float through me because I'm already in Christ. But I found out that it does have an effect on you if you just let anything float through you. It eventually has an effect on you. And it will kill you spiritually. It will disconnect you as a spiritual being. And he says, casting down arguments, reasonings, by which one relies upon, and every high thing. What does that mean, high thing? It means something that's beyond yourself. Beyond yourself, it has a reasoning to it. And that's the ones that will really look to undo you. I know what I'm talking about. I just experienced it this weekend. I had something come against me that was far beyond me. But I know that I can't listen to that voice of reasoning. I have to get quiet. I have to shut myself down and get quiet before God so I can hear His voice. Because God's voice is easier to hear when you allow yourself to go to peace. No matter what you face, you have to allow yourself to go to that place of peace, because you're not going to find peace there. Peace does not exist there. Remember Dean said when he was there, he noticed there was no such thing as peace. Why? Because peace is for us to go to in a place where there is no peace. There's no place to go to look for peace. It is a place of peace. Remember Dean shared that when he went to heaven? He noticed there was no such thing as peace there because he was in the realm for which it emanates to us living here for peace. See, a lot of us don't think that, but I'm going to tell you, how many of you can agree with me that when you learn to shut your mind down because it has a whole lot of things that keep throwing itself at you in unfavorable circumstances or situations, how many of you have ever been there? I think every one of us have been. I imagine all of us would be probably well-developed, mature magistrates in that area. But I'll tell you what, it takes something else to say, I refuse to let this thing undo me. I want to go to peace. I want to get peace right now. Lord, I just want to connect with you in the realm of peace. And then I say, I know once I'm peace, once I'm calmed down, once my emotions are out of the way, I can hear your voice so much clearer. Because you know, God don't shout and scream, and God don't get emotional about everything. God speaks to you in a still, small voice. See, everybody thinks that God's going to speak in the whirlwind, in the thunder. No, that's what we do when we lose peace. When we lose control, what do? We create whirlwinds. We start screaming and shouting. We get into a place where there is no peace. And we have to learn to go to that place. So going to the place of peace will really help you. Even if you're fed up with yourself, still go to that place of peace. I know there's a lot of you can say out there, I've been pretty discouraged with myself. Can anybody agree to that? A lot of us are not happy with a lot of things that we do. But do you think God's moved by it? You know how God looks at you in your worst state? Come to me, I got answers. Come to me, I got direction. Come to me, I want to talk to you. I want to help you. God, you don't have any idea what I've done. Oh, yes, I do. That's why you need to come to me. Sit at my feet. Learn something about what you're going through. Boy, I've been to that place a few times in my life. Even when that voice of prophecy, it rescued me one time. I went to Winter Bible Seminar. Dad Hagen called me out. And I was going through the worst time of my life in ministry here. And he walked up to me. And he pointed his finger at me. He says, "You'll never have to go through what you're going through now ever again." People, you have no idea what that did for me. It put a new set of Nike shoes on me. I was ready to run a marathon. How many of you have desired a word for God from God? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with even having a vision from God. But listen, God ain't going to give you a word and give you a vision so you can continue on in stupidity. He's going to give you a word and He's going to give you vision so that you can excel and go beyond where you're at. But most of the time, God will just keep silent until you make up your mind. Everybody's waiting for God to make His mind up, and God just waiting for you to make your mind up, because you're the captain of your vessel. God didn't come into your life to grab a hold of the steering wheel and say, "I'll drive you wherever you want to go." Because there's a lot of places He wouldn't go. And He says here, Paul, He says, "I cast down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I'm bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, you can't tell me this verse is not indicating that there are two sides to the coin. One saying one thing and the other a weapon to say something else. I'd say the last 3 years, or four, I think John could witness this, that we've done more to get in to Scripture and finding out all about the soul and how it functions and how it operates, the mind. Boy, you can find some worthy treasure in it. But most of the time, people seem to think that the carnal mind is renewed. Boy, I wish that was true. I'd go for as much renewal as I could go for. You want to know why? Because in my understanding, the more your mind is renewed, the more control you have of it. I found that there's a carnal side to my thinking that has not bore any good fruit since the day I gave my heart to the Lord. It's still the same. The only thing that has happened about my carnal mind is I got more control of him. But I found he's not subject to the will of God. Neither indeed can be. So I have to have something else renewed in me to control that idiot. And that's called the Word of God. It has to come to my spiritual mind. It can't come to my carnal mind. It has to come, but it has to go through my carnal mind. That's why it says that hell has enlarged itself in this area of darkness. I never could. For years, I couldn't figure out what this darkness was. I've had people preach to me and say weird things. And finally, it dawned on me one day, darkness is the part of the mind where there's no illumination. And when there is no illumination, men make decisions. They choose to do things out of that darkness. And how great is that darkness when they do that? Because they think it's their light. Man is not within himself to understand or know the will of God. He's not capable within himself. It takes God in him for the hope of the glory of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so the things that I'm going to have John type up for you, thank you, John, is the perimeters that helped me corral this voice. It helped me a lot. It helped remove a lot of fear in my life. And so I looked for these perimeters and I found them. Thank God I found them. Number one is I began to realize that anything apart from the Word of God is usually senseless. There's nothing outside the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing we're accountable for. We're not accountable for what we know in the natural or what we think. We are only accountable to what we know of the Word of God. And so you'll find that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that to you out of the Greek because our translators did not do a good job at translating these verses. And here's what it says. In Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13, if you want to, you can open your Bibles up there. Everybody go right to these verses. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and energy." The Greek word there is energeia, which means energy. The word of God is living and energy. Now, your translator put operative there. But nothing moves until there's energy in it. It's just like a light switch. You can turn a light switch on, but what good does it do to flip the light switch if there's no energy connected to it? And so first of all, he says the Word of God is living. It's not a dead letter. It's a living thing. And it's got energy. And it's sharper beyond every two-mouth-edged sword. Sharper than any two-mouthed. See, our translators didn't bring that out. What did he mean by two-mouthed? Well, he was talking about a sword having two edges to it. And he's saying the Word of God is sharper than a person who has two voices running through him. What does that mean? It means the Word of God will come down and separate those voices. It'll make a distinction one against the other. Whoo! He says, passing through as far as division of the soul and of spirit, both of joints and of marrow, and is able to judge of thoughts and intentions of a heart. The thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Whoo! It's saying the Word of God can dissect your complete being. What comes out of your natural mind, what comes out of your spiritual mind. It can divide the thoughts and the real motive or intentions that is in your heart. Now, every one of us today, within my voice, I can say this. Every one of us have a measure of self-deception floating in us. What do I mean by that? How can a person be self-deceived? Well, because the carnal mind is not sober in the way that it thinks. Only the mind of Christ can bring a soberness to you. We find that in Romans 12. So every one of us are intoxicated to a point because we have the carnal mind's thought processes in us. And the only way that we can keep from deception is to be sober in our thinking. Well, how do we get sober in our thinking? By thinking right. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a drunkard, when I was into drugs, alcohol, I always ended up somebody else that I wasn't. Some of you might be able to say, yes, amen, I know who that guy is. Have you ever noticed a drunk, what they'll do is they'll tell you the truth? Have you ever noticed? I'm going to tell you the truth. It's about time we speak the truth. I ain't going to say who I was driving home that was drunk. But he wanted to settle the issues. Drunker than a skunk. You know what? Let's get truthful. Let's get down to truth. You don't know what truth is. And I said, okay, Mr. Truthful, tell me. What is truthfulness? And what came out of his heart was what you call a fool. He who opens his whole heart is a fool. Because there's some things you just best live unsaid. Why? Because they don't do anything for anybody. They just create an unfruitfulness in the process of your thinking. And when a person sobers up, comes out of that mess, my gosh, he doesn't think the same way. I heard one brother say, I think it was Kenneth Copeland, he said, I used to go in the bar. Used to go into a bar in the image of Wally Cox. And after he sat at the bar a while, he thought he was John Wayne. He said, you can get away with that until you meet somebody that's greater than John Wayne. Be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be ye what? Filled with the Spirit of God. So he says here, be able to judge the thoughts and intentions of a heart. The Word of God can dissect your whole being. But I like what the next verse says. And I'm going to say it according to the Greek and not according to our translators. And there is no creature unmanifest before him. What does that mean? And there is no creature unmanifest before him? But all things are naked and having been laid open to the eyes of him. And all things being open to the eyes of him. You know what that's saying? It's saying, before the eyes of God, there is nothing hidden from him. That means that if the Word of God can completely dissect the entire person that you and I are, then the next verse has a greater meaning. Therefore, he says, the Word of God having this kind of impact for your life. The next verse, he says, therefore, everything having been laid naked and open before the eyes of him. Now our translator said, therefore we're accountable to Jesus. But in the Greek it doesn't say that. It says, therefore we are accountable to the Word of God. Now if you're accountable to the Word of God, then you're accountable to him. But if you're not accountable to his word, you're not accountable to him. And that's why it says in the Greek there, but all things are naked and having been laid open to the eyes of him with whom to us the word is our accountability. Woo! The word is our accountability. Then the next thing that helped me to understand was contextual understanding. That means to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that. Isaiah 28 verses 9 and 10 says that whom will he impart knowledge to? Who will he give correct doctrine to? Because correct doctrine, correct knowledge has to be precept upon precept. Line upon line. See, it has to be contextually understood. You know what? You can come at, somebody says, you can come at the Word of God with any direction you want. Yes, you can, but you got to come up with the same interpretation. Yeah. See, some people say, well, he can present it a little differently. But yeah, you can present anything differently, but you still have to have the same meaning that it was meant to be. Right. Not your own crisscross interpretation. So you have to have within you a perimeter calling contextual understanding. It has to be understood in its setting first before I remove it and put it someplace else. Then the third thing that helped me in the perimeters, that he only speaks one way to our generation, our dispensation, in a son. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. He says he spoke in times past through the Father by the prophets many ways, many portions. He dealt out much knowledge here and a little there and over here a little and over there a little. But today, during our dispensation, he speaks only one way, and it says in the Greek, in a son, which is Jesus Christ, he speaks through him. I don't care what he said in the Old Testament. I want to know what he said in the New Testament. I don't care what happened in the Old Testament. I want to know what he has to say in the New Testament, because then I can figure out the Old Testament. Then I have the Holy Spirit as my inner witness. He's there every time for every one of you in this room. There is no such thing as you being void of an inner witness. Because he will bear witness you are his child. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of us wish we didn't have that inner witness. Because every time we go do something wrong, he goes to scratching on the inside of us. And what we do is we start learning how to tuck it down. Push it down. And then I have to realize the carnal mind speaks contrary to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, we covered that. The sixth thing is wisdom and understanding comes through the Spirit. It doesn't come through our head. It comes through the Spirit. Turn over to Colossians 1:9. I'm going to give you scripture on that. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. That in the Greek is epinosis, a higher knowledge. Of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, you can't have understanding from the natural and connect it with God. They don't work together. Did you guys know that? They don't work together. You're not going to find God's understanding through the body of flesh because it has a voice of its own. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, until I had to be shown this to me supernaturally, that I cannot understand the principles of God's wisdom unless it comes through my spirit. Spiritual understanding. You know what? If you're really connecting with me this morning, here's what you'll say. I don't know where he's coming from. Where is he coming from? I think I know. One day it dawned on me. It was like a light bulb turned on. Spiritual understanding. You mean to tell me I can't reason? There's no reasoning within me to come up with why the principles of God's wisdom is there? Do you know that the principles of God's wisdom can be understood by the natural mind? Do you guys know that? But it takes your spirit to understand how those principles work. You know, I don't know if any of you seen the movie Moses with Charlton Heston. Have you guys ever seen that movie? You never did, John? I'll bring the DVDs to church and make you sit and watch the whole movie. You know, there was a part of that movie, and some of you might remember, where he was in the wilderness. He had no food or water, and God was providing for him. And then the narrator of the movie, who was speaking, had that real holy voice. And he said that God led Moses into the wilderness to break him of all reliance upon his flesh. And you know something? That triggered something in me. That's how God does it. He gets us to a place where we take total and complete control of our outer man. And it's not in the form of breaking it. It's in the form of controlling it. He makes us men and women of God, high priests, by that little secret Paul had learned, saying that I have taken complete control of my vessel. And when it gets out of line, I beat it black and blue. I make it a slave to me. So that when I preach to others, I myself will not be made a reproach. You know, Hollywood has done more to bring a reproach to the kingdom of God than any other thing. Because most of the time, Hollywood portrays a believer a nutcase. Well, they're portraying the wrong person. Because the closer you get with God, the less of a nutcase you are. Point number 7, the position of our physical body, what has been declared on the cross. Romans 6:5, for if we've been planted in his death. Matthew 16:24, for if a man will take up his cross, the position his body has been declared. And then 1 Corinthians 9:27. Turn over there, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In the Greek it says, but I treat severely of me the body and lead it as a slave. Most of us are trying to find doctrine, well, it'll well clothe him and well dress him, make him look pious and perfect. Well, you're no different than a Pharisee or Sadducee or scribe. I've actually heard doctrines preached on prosperity where Jesus only slept in mansions. How many of you ever heard that kind of doctrine? He never related to the common poor man. He only related to the uppers and wealthy. You'd call that money lust. Lust of money. Trying to coax you into that kind of a lifestyle by giving to their ministry. I'll tell you, that's thieving. That's robbery. Hallelujah. No, this outer man, you know what he deserves? He deserves the comforts of life. But really what this outer man deserves is to become a slave for the kingdom of God that resides within my spirit, so that I can bring glory back to God as I walk with Him. The role of the Holy Spirit on the heart of the inner man. 1 Corinthians 2:14, and the understanding of the heart. Now, some people said the heart can be used interchangeably with the word spirit. It is not. The word heart means the process by which your heart is made up. Proverbs 23:7 and Proverbs 4:23. Let's look at those two, and then we're going to quit. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The word thinks here is a Greek word for gatekeeper. That literally means he acts as his own gatekeeper. What he allows to come in and what he allows to go out. For as a man thinks in his heart. That verse there is talking about a process that you and I perform on ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. When people say, well, I know he doesn't do this and I know he doesn't do that, but God knows his heart. The problem is, God don't have a problem knowing anybody's heart. It's the person who has the heart that doesn't know it. There's the breakdown. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, yeah, I know they're not here, and I know that they were here at one time. But, you know, God knows their heart. Well, if God knew their heart, what good does that do for them? Until God is able to convey to you what is in your heart. He has to tell you about you. And you're the one that has to make the adjustments. Dang! Why are you always picking on me, Lord? Proverbs 4:23. I like this one. And this is the one that is violated. It was violated by me so much. Till one day I had to sit down with myself. Look at verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The word issues here is a Hebrew word for direction. It gives you a geographical boundaries, and it gives you a location of where your heart should be. Keep your heart with all diligence. A lot of people don't know how to do that. Because they don't understand what diligent means. I'm going to tell you what diligent means. It means go at it with everything that's within you. Did you guys get something here? We'll type this all up for you with the scriptures and everything. Go and read the scriptures. Meditate on them. Roll them over in your mind. Think about them. Connect with them. And I'm going to tell you something. Then get quiet before the Lord. You know, a lot of times when I go to prayer, I don't say nothing. I just sit there and I get quiet. And that's God's signal to speak. Too many of us go to our prayer closet and we're just yakking away. Just yakking away. We're informing God of everything. That to God, it don't mean a hill of beans. He'd like us to shut up so he can say something back to us. Do you guys get something here today? This is the last time I'll speak on this message. I'll give you a break. Next week, I'll come with a message. You're the righteousness of God in Christ, and nothing shall by any means hinder you in any way. I'll give you a prosperity message that I'll have the ushers bring the buckets up here, man, and you can just fill them up. Because I'll promise you the moon. No, I won't. I'll promise you the third heaven. Providing you have enough. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mike and Isabel, this is going to be the best year you've ever had. You believe that? It's going to be the best year you've ever had. Hallelujah. Mike, This is going to be the best year you've ever had. Amen. How many can say it? It's going to be the best year I've ever had. It is. It's going to be the best year you've ever had. Hallelujah. 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 Well, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your wonderful people. And before we shut this service down, Father, if there be anybody here that would like to receive Jesus as their personal Savior, they're just fed up with trying to find their own identity in a world that steals it. In a world that doesn't care about their identity. But you do. If they want to receive you as their personal Savior, we want to give them every opportunity to come into the kingdom of God and to be changed into a powerhouse for His glory. And Father, if there's a brother or sister here in need of recommitting themselves to you, in their own thinking, they want to freshen their walk with you. We want to give them that opportunity. Father, if they want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the precious evidence of speaking in that language for our dispensation, for that correct and exact knowledge, we want to pray for them. And Father, if they have any physical needs in their body, we want to pray for them. Father, we love your people so much. We want to give them the best that we can possibly give them concerning the Word of God, so that, Father, it can change their life. Not give them a false hope, but actual tools to work with so that it would be a success on purpose. So with that thought in mind right now, if you're here and you need prayer for any one of those reasons, step out right now and come forward. We'd be glad to pray with you. Yes. Anyone? Hallelujah. Feel free. Won't do anything to embarrass you. But we'll do everything we can to reaffirm with what you need. Anyone? Now's the time to come, not after the service, but before. Many of you always come up afterwards and say, I would like you to pray for this or that. Well, now's the time to do it. Come forward now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you don't come freely, then I'm not going to beg you. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you for your wonderful people. And Father, may they be protected going home now. Father, we know that there's much danger on the road. And so, Father, we want the Spirit to be with everyone who has gotten in their vehicles and drove here. Let them have a safe trip going home. Safe trip from all alcoholics. From all marijuana smokers, from all Texers. Father, whatever it takes to protect them, I declare a safe journey for all of them. Father, give them an alternate route if there's danger in the one they normally take. We thank you for it. Amen. You can go.